ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، اللہ کے حضور میں سر کو جھکا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز، وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز، مومن کی پاک روح کا ایک نور ہے نماز، شیطان کی بہت سے بہت دور ہے نماز، دل کو خدا کی یاد کا مسکن بنا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز، وہ خوش نصیب ہے جسے منظور ہے نماز، مومن کی پاک روح کا ایک نور ہے نماز، شیطان کی بہت سے بہت دور ہے نماز، دل کو خدا کی یاد کا مسکن بنا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، برکت ہزار ساتھ ہے لاتی ہے یہ نماز، برکت ہزار ساتھ ہے لاتی ہے یہ نماز، جلوہ خدا کا ساتھ دکھاتی ہے یہ نماز، بندے کو اپنے رب سے ملاتی ہے یہ نماز، ملنا ہے گر خدا سے مصلی بچا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، منکر نکیر قبر میں پوچھیں گے جب حساب، منکر نکیر قبر میں پوچھیں گے جب حساب، دے گی نماز خود ہی نمازی کا سب جواب، مٹ جائے گا نماز سے سب قبر کا عذاب، اس رب العالمین سے تو لو لگا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، اس رب ذوالجلال کی مرضی نماز ہے، اس رب ذوالجلال کی مرضی نماز ہے، بخشش کی اور نجات کی سیری نماز ہے، دروازے بہشت کی کنجی نماز ہے، سب کچھ ملے گا خود کو نمازی بنا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ، وہ رب العالمین ہے مختار ہے وہی، وہ رب العالمین ہے مختار ہے وہی، رحمان ہے رحیم ہے غفار ہے وہی، بے شک تیری نماز کا حقدار ہے وہی، ناراض ہو نہ جائے وہ بندے خدا کے دیکھ، ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ اللہ کے حضور میں سر کو جھکا کے دیکھ ملتا ہے کیا نماز میں سجدے میں جا کے دیکھ.
السلام علیکم. ایک نعت پیش خدمت ہے. ہے چمن ہی چمن مدینے میں, ہے چمن ہی چمن مدینے میں, سب کو دیکھو ہے مگن مدینے میں, سب کو دیکھو ہے مگن مدینے میں, اس سے بڑھ کر اس سے بڑھ کر نصیب کیا ہوگا, ہو جو اپنا وطن مدینے میں, ہو جو اپنا وطن مدینے میں. اہل دل کو نصیب ہوتا ہے, اہل دل کو اہل دل کو نصیب ہوتا ہے, عشق کا پیرہن مدینے میں, عشق کا پیرہن مدینے میں, رات دن ہے خیال طیبہ کا, رات دن ہے رات دن ہے خیال طیبہ کا, تن یہاں ہے تو من مدینے میں, تن یہاں ہے تو من مدینے میں, خاک طیبہ کا دو کفن مجھ کو, مدینے کی مٹی کا کفن دو مجھ کو, خاک طیبہ خاک طیبہ کا دو کفن مجھ کو, مجھ کو کر دو دفن مدینے میں, مجھ کو کر دو دفن مدینے میں, خاک طیبہ کا دو کفن مجھ کو, مجھ کو کر دو دفن مدینے میں, رات دن ہے خیال طیبہ کا, تن یہاں ہے تو من مدینے میں. السلام علیکم.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ, we are extremely fortunate that we have amongst us today Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayyad Sahib of Stanger, Rahmat Barakatuhu. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is my ustad also. Alhamdulillah, he is a very dynamic speaker, a very pious, very brilliant alim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of listening to him attentively and making amal on whatever he is going to say. His one car, ND170096, Toyota Corolla, please remove your car. ND170096. If anybody is obstructing any driveway, please remove your car and not disrupt the bayan. Jazakallah.
Indeed, الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مروا أولادكم بالصلاة. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable Ulama-i-Kiram, respected elders, dear brothers, our dear children, respected mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Normally on this night, we remember the very great and significant event of Mi'raj. Many parts of the world we will find Muslims commemorating this most marvelous event of the Mi'raj. Undoubtedly, the Mi'raj was one of the greatest miracles given unto Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to the ulama of Islam, after the Holy Quran, no doubt the Holy Quran is the greatest mu'jiza. It is the greatest miracle given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But second in place after the Quran, according to many ulama, second in place is the Mi'raj. Because remember brothers, the Mi'raj is not just one miracle, one mu'jiza, but it is a combination or a conglomeration of many, many miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one night. So tonight we have gathered here to commemorate this great event of the Mi'raj. But we have to remember one thing, dear friends, and that is there is a very striking difference between the commemoration of a Muslim of a certain event in the Islamic history in comparison to the commemoration of the kuffar of some significant events in their history. And what is that striking difference? That striking difference is this, that the kuffar are passive spectators when it comes to any significant event in their history. It doesn't touch their hearts. They are not involved in that particular event. It is just some kind of intellectual exercise. But other than that, it doesn't touch their hearts. They have no personal involvement with it. For example, somebody saved a few people from drowning at sea, and then he gave his own life in the process. So to commemorate that event, they put up a huge statue of that person, and people go and visit that statue. They admire the statue, they probably talk a few things about it, and that's about it. Someone did a very significant deed. He rode on his particular grey horse for so many days on end until he travelled from one end of the country to the other end of the country, and he became a savior for a lot of people. So they put a man on a statue, and that's how they commemorate that great event. But in Islam, we all know, brothers, statues are absolutely haram. Photography is haram. So there is absolutely no concept of commemorating any great event by constructing statues or having photographs of that event. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something that is infinitely better than that. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited us to be part and parcel of that action and get first hand that experience and experience the joy or the pleasure or the ecstasy or the feeling or the pain that those people experience, so we get a first-hand experience and we appreciate it first-hand. One example of this is the Qurbani. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave the Qurbani of his son. We don't find in Mina a statue of a father standing with a knife, sharp knife in his hand, and his son lying down, and he's about to slay his son. And we don't find the Hajis going there to Mina, admiring some statue of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, first hand experience the feeling of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. On that particular day of Eid, every Muslim who has the means must buy that animal and he must slaughter it with his own hand and he must experience first hand a glimpse of the feeling that went through the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Safa Marwa. We go to Safa Marwa. We don't find a statue of Hazrat Hajira alayhi salam carrying the little baby Ismail alayhi salam in her hands, or the baby lying down somewhere and a statue of her running up and down in Safa Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us something infinitely better. Allah said, make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, O people of Iman, and experience firsthand what Hazrat Hajira alayhi salam went through. The pelting of the shaitan. And many other such significant acts, my dear respected friends. We commemorate these by being personally part and parcel of those acts. And that brings us to the topic of Mi'raj. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity of experiencing firsthand a glimpse of that Mi'raj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no statue or anything of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam riding on a buraq and going for Mi'raj, ma'adallah. But yes, it is very disturbing to hear one very reliable and authentic scholar of Islam told me that in some countries he actually saw certain people due to absolute ignorance. Allah give them the nur of knowledge. They've got photographs in their home of a particular animal that they say is the buraq. And it's a very odd looking animal. It has got some kind of human features and animal features. This is all jahalat and ignorance, dear friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity of experiencing the taste of Mi'raj by giving us the gift of salah. We are commemorating this event of Mi'raj not only on the 27th night. This is just an excuse to get our brothers together. We already heard one bayan on salah. I think that should have been enough. But since we've got a nice, beautiful gathering, and it's not so easy to get so many people together every day, so inshallah we'll try to make maximum use of the opportunity. So we find, dear friends, every salah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us experience a taste of that Mi'raj. That is why there's a little bit of difference amongst the ulama whether it is a hadith or it's not a hadith. According to many ulama, it may not be a hadith. These particular words, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Salah is the mi'raj of a mu'min. It may not be a hadith, but it is authentic in the sense that the meaning of these words are true. The salah is a mi'raj of a mu'min. When we recite in our salah, and towards the end of our salah, when we're coming to the culmination of our salah, at that time, we are reminded every time about this event of Mi'raj. And we read, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed him with these beautiful words. And he said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Oh my beloved Nabi, salam be upon you. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May we be sacrificed upon that great and august master, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the height of his glories, at the moment of his greatest achievement, The greatest achievement that any human being could have ever aspired for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to him on the night of Mi'raj. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. So close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no human being ever went that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sidratul Muntaha, the very fascinating tree Allah has kept above the seven skies. That Sidratul Muntaha which Allah has spoken about in the Quran, which defies any kind of description, the beauty of it. Sidratul Muntaha is the last point any living being went past. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, who was the sati and the companion of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this journey of Mi'raj. And some people have made a beautiful comparison between the journey of Mi'raj, which was also at night, and the journey of Hijrat, which was also at night. And they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved the best of angels to accompany his Nabi on that one night of Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salam. On the other hand, Allah reserved the best of humanity of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, to be the companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the night of Hijrat. Who can match the glory and the achievement of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? So we find, my dear respected friends, on that night of Mi'raj, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam accompanies Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they come to the point of Sidratul Muntaha, it is at that point that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam stops. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Oh Jibreel, you've come with me so far. Why are you leaving me at this point?" And he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, nobody has gone beyond this point. If I have to venture one hair's breadth beyond this point, the tajalli and the effulgence and the nur and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great at this point that Jibreel, as great and powerful and mighty as he was, he said, I fear that I will be reduced to ashes. From that point onwards, only Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed beyond that point, brothers. What a great person he was. We don't have any slightest indication of the maqam and the position of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear respected friends, even at that time, he did not forget his ummat. He did not forget the pious people of his ummat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of his ummat at the time of Mi'raj. He thought of us at the time of his demise. He thought of us after his salah. He thought of us in the dead of the night when he made his tahajjud salah and he made dua for his ummah. And he made and what did he say at that time? As-salamu alayna, O Allah, salam be upon us, wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah make us from the salihin. Allah make us from the pious. We will qualify for this beautiful dua from every mu'min who's been reading salah from the time salah was made first right till the day of Qiyamah. If we qualify for this title of being salihin, our work will be done, dear friends. My Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali Hazrat Maulana Masihullah used to always say, people used to come with their little children and babies. Hazrat dua kar do, ye alim ban jaye, ye mufti ban jaye, ye qari ban jaye, mufassir, muhaddith, mujahid, da'i ban jaye. People used to bring their children out of aqidat, love for the buzurgan deen. Allah makes them mustajabud da'wat. Allah puts the love of these pious people into the hearts of the people. Automatically they are drawn and attracted towards these pious people. So they used to take their children and they used to ask Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali to make dua. Look at the knowledge and the wisdom Allah had given this great awliya Allah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to make this one dua. Allah usko salih banaye. Because dear respected friends, it is not necessary for everyone to become an alim. It is not necessary for everyone to become a qari. It is not necessary for everyone to become a mufti. It is not necessary for everyone to become a hafiz or a mufassir or a da'i or whatever it is. It is not practical also. The world will come, the nizam of the world will come to a standstill. The system of Allah is there has to be all kinds of people in this world for this world to function. But yes, it is necessary for every person to be salih and to be pious. That is why our Shaykh is to make dua, Allah usko salih banaye. After that, whether he becomes an alim or not, if he becomes an alim, that is a bonus. But if he didn't become an alim, and he became pious, he has achieved what he is supposed to achieve. Allah Ta'ala make us from the salihin. My dear respected friends, at then, when he said, he made this dua, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, then all the angels who were there, they recited in one voice, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Every namaz we are reciting this, we are remembering this event of Mi'raj. Tonight is just an excuse that we have got together. Otherwise, every namaz we are remembering the Mi'raj. And my dear respected friends, if we have understood the message of this Mi'raj, which is the message of Salah, then our sitting here has been achieved. Respected friends, tonight inshallah al-Aziz, with your du'as, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will try to focus on a few aspects of Mi'raj. Really, it is the haqq of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we should focus on all the aspects of Mi'raj. To speak about the minutest detail of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the form, highest form of ibadat. It is our aqidah and belief that to even speak about the animals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an act of ibadat. What was the name of his camel? What was the name of the horses that he rode on? Whether he owned a donkey or not, to go into that discussion and to speak about the animals of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an act of ibadat. So really, we will be doing justice if we speak about every aspect of the Mi'raj, but then we have to be ready to sit here till Fajr time. Another two cars, brothers, are called friends. Let us focus on certain aspects of Mi'raj at least. The first aspect that we need to focus on as far as Mi'raj is concerned is we understand there are two aspects of this journey. One is the journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, which is known as Isra and which has been mentioned in the ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited. It is first to believe in this. Any person who denies that this event of Isra took place immediately is expelled from the pale of Islam, because he is denying an ayat of the Holy Quran. And then there is another leg of this journey, and that is the leg of the journey from Masjid al-Aqsa right up to Sidratul Muntaha and beyond. That is the second leg of the journey. This part is called Mi'raj. Isra is from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and the other part is called Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the 10th year of Hijri, it was the 10th year of Nubuwat. The 10th year of Nubuwat. According to the commentators and according to the historians and the biographers of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 10th year of Nubuwat, 10 years after Allah gave him Nubuwat from the event of Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, the cave of Hira. This was the 10th year. The 10th year was the most difficult year. The historians call this year Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow and grief, because there were certain events that took place in the 10th year which caused great sorrow and pain to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of this event was the demise of his beloved wife Sayyidina Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, who was the mother of all his children. Pillar of support. What a woman she was. Allah granted the highest darajat. Allah be pleased and happy with her. She was a tremendous pillar of support to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She passed away. When a person loses his life companion, how much of pain it brings to the heart. And then a companion of this caliber, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered her till the very end of his life, brothers. When the sister of Hazrat Khadija used to come and he used to hear her voice, his eyes used to fill with tears. He is to say that she kindles, her voice kindles the memories of my beloved Khadija in my heart. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to even take care of her friends, that for years after that, he used to send gifts to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, to honor the friendship and the bond of love that there was between them as a couple. He lost this bosom companion of his, this beloved wife of his, in the 10th year of Nubuwwat. Then, my dear respected friends, he lost his uncle, Abu Talib, who was a pillar of support unto him. And until Abu Talib lived, no person in Makkah had the guts to lift a finger against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to speak ill about him. Ma'azallah, they used to call him all kinds of names. They labeled all kinds, they threw all kinds of evil epithets against him. But they didn't have the courage of touching him. But when Abu Talib died, and he died in such a way that despite every effort of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't die with the kalima. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives hidayat, Allah takes hidayat. Allah chooses whom He wants to give hidayat to. It is not the personal property even of the Anbiya alayhi salam. A Nabi of Allah also cannot give hidayat to anyone. If Allah has given us hidayat, brothers, make lakh shukr to Allah. Ya Allah, keep us with hidayat. Let us live with hidayat and die with hidayat. This hidayat is a very great gift of Allah. So we find, dear friends, that Abu Talib dies. He dies without the kalima. And it causes great pain to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To give solace to his heart and to give comfort to him for all the pain and suffering that he went through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him this journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the malaika, and they came in a very unusual way to Makkah that night. And they carried him. And from there, he went on the Buraq, Masjidul Haram, ila Masjidul Aqsa, Masjidul Aqsa. It will be great injustice tonight, brothers, if we just gloss over Masjidul Aqsa and we don't speak about the subject of Masjidul Aqsa. Tonight, while we are sitting here, Allah alone knows best what is happening in Masjidul Aqsa and around Masjidul Aqsa. Brothers, while we are sitting here in comfort, Allah forgive us, our families, our youth. We are enjoying the favors of Allah. We are happy in our families. We are passing our days. We are chasing after our little trivial pursuits. We are engaged in our frivolous little activities. We laugh, we enjoy, we break the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our youth waste and while their energies and time away, driving fast cars, blaring music, sound systems, drugs, partying, all kinds of things, dear friends. When the youth of Masjidul Aqsa are giving their lives and blood for the protection of Masjidul Aqsa, Allah give hidayat to all of us, dear friends. That tonight, if we cannot be bleeding from our bodies, the blood that is flowing of those people, at least Allah let our hearts bleed tonight. If we cannot shed blood, brothers, Allah make us shed some tears tonight. What is going on there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and assist them, dear friends. Innocent little children are not being spared. What kind of people they would be, what kind of hearts they will have to take the lives of innocent children. That little boy, Muhammad Ad-Durr, he was one in a few hundred thousand. The people of the world captured that image. So the people talk about it. Father and son coming back from some shop, they went to go and buy some cars or something. And they got caught in the so-called crossfire. The father is pleading with the heartless people, don't shoot, don't kill. There's a little child of mine, don't kill. My dear friends, they didn't take pity on that little child. The child is cowering behind his father. He's holding fast. You can see the terror in his eyes. You can see the fear on his face. They didn't spare the life of their child. They shot him in cold blood. They shot the father. The ambulance man who comes to pick them up, they shoot him. This is not the only child that has been shot, brothers. 18-month-old baby is shot in the head. The brains fly out of the head, in the lap of the mother. The other day there was a child, 14-year-old schoolboy, coming back from school, he still had his school satchel on his back, walking home. Maybe his mother was waiting with the lunch for him. And from the top, they shoot him, the bullet enters the base of his skull, he falls down dead on the ground. These things are happening while we are living, dear friends. While we are eating, while we are enjoying, while we are passing our lives. While we are playing darts in our clubhouses, on the dart board, we want to get bull's eye. We want to hit bull's eye with our arrows. The callous soldiers, they have got another bull's eye, and that bull's eye is the eye of a Palestinian youth. That is their target practice. That it is a trophy for them. If their snipers can hit a Palestinian youth in the eye, it is a trophy and achievement for them. How many Palestinian youngsters have lost their eyes, dear friends? Or have lost an eye? Today they can only cry with one eye. Allah has given us two eyes. Allah make these two eyes cry also, brothers. The least we can do is we can cry for our brothers and sisters there. While the world sits with folded arms, while they sit with folded arms, and they observe the carnage and bloodshed that is taking place, the super cops of the world and the super policemen of the world, the so-called, you know, organization of the nations and the association of the nations of the world, the so-called advanced industrialized nations of the world, the so-called first world civilized countries of the world. All the cities with folded arms. They say a few hypocritical words which are meaningless. They don't lift a finger to help or assist in any way. And we shouldn't expect them to help in any way. It will be naive of us, brothers, if we can expect help and assistance from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنْ تَرُضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Yahud will never be happy with you, believers. The Nasara will never be happy with you. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you don't follow their ways. Until you don't discard your millat, the millat of Islam, and you don't follow their way and their way of life and their religion, they won't be happy with you. It will be naive to expect anything from them. We can't put our trust on them, dear friends. Our trust we can only put on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah is not blind. Allah is all knowing. Allah is all seeing. Allah is all hearing. Allah is all aware of what is going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain ground rules for His help and assistance. The Anbiya alayhi salam cried out, Mata Nasrullah, when will the help of Allah come? Allah said, Ala inna Nasrullahi qareeb. Listen, Allah's help is near. Allah make your help near today. We need your help, O Allah. O Allah, we need your assistance. We need the help of Allah, dear friends. This is the only thing that can help this ummah. And how will the help of Allah come? There are conditions Allah has made for His help. The help of Allah is not so cheap that it will come to anyone anyhow. Allah has made certain conditions for His help and assistance. The same Bani Israel, the same Israelites, the same children of Israel, the same Jews, they also went through a dark night of oppression. They also went through a dark night of oppression. I'm not talking about the recent history of 40, 50 years ago. I'm talking about a few thousand years ago when they were oppressed in the most brutal of ways under a brutal and oppressive king who had such might that the kings of the world or the governments of the world cannot imagine anyone having such might and power. That was Fir'aun. 400 years he ruled. He had such might and power, 400 years he didn't suffer one headache. Here when they go to Camp David, they get diarrhea. They have to run in and out of the bush. He didn't even have one headache for so many years. No fear whatsoever. That was the enemy they were faced with. And they came crying to Musa alayhi salam. Allah had given them a very great leader. Today the ummah needs a leader, dear friends. To liberate this ummah from this dark night of suffering, a leader is required. Especially in Palestine, Allah grant them a leader. The year 1099, the year 1099 is the time when, this is not the first time there's bloodshed in Palestine. We don't know our history, friends. Let's be frank about it. We don't know our history. This is not the first time there was bloodshed in this holy city. I'm talking of bloodshed of Muslims. In the year 1099, when Urban II mobilized the Christian hordes and forces of Europe, and they marched onto Masjid al-Aqsa, and they overran Masjid al-Aqsa. What bloodshed and carnage there was at that time. According to the historians, in one onslaught, one attack, over 70,000 Muslims were slaughtered at one time. 70,000 Muslims, brothers. 70,000. And the blood flowed. You know, in Qurbani time, we have to cut a few hundred sheep. How much of blood flows? Can we imagine how much of blood flowed when 70,000 Muslims were killed on that day? They say the blood was so high, a person could wade neck high in the blood of the Muslims. For 90 years, Masjid al-Aqsa went out of the hands of the Muslims. They put the crosses in the walls of Masjid al-Aqsa. And all kinds of shirk and kufr was taking place within the sanctity of Masjid al-Aqsa. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the ummah a leader at that time. In the name of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, say rahmatullahi alayhi, brothers. What a great man of Islam he was. Salahuddin. The name used to strike terror in the hearts of the kuffar. That man, he was a young man of piety and conviction, and he grew up with one burning ambition and desire in his heart. Allah give our youth that desire and conviction. Of Salahuddin, he grew up with that conviction, and he had one burning desire. Whatever must happen, I must liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of the enemies of Allah. And we find he starts making that preparations within himself. Develops those qualities within himself that are required for this momentous and great task. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this kind of great work from people of qualities. This is not the achievement of any ordinary person. Salahuddin was a man. He was so hell-bent on his mission that it is said he never ever smiled in his life until the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. He was always a very serious and stern person. People used to say, you don't even smile. We won't smile for other reasons. We may have had a glass of lemon juice for breakfast, so we can't smile for the day. It's too much of an effort to smile sometimes. And incidentally, I was reading through some book on little medical facts. They had there that it takes 72 muscles to frown and it only takes 14 muscles to smile. So if you want to take your face to the gym and you want to strengthen your facial muscles, you should be frowning all the time. It's taking up a lot of extra energy. So my dear respected friend, Salahuddin didn't smile. This worry and this driving, burning desire within his heart to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. And in his country, far away from Masjid al-Aqsa, he built a mimbar. Beautiful mimbar. Unfortunately, part of that mimbar was destroyed when fire bombs were thrown into Masjid al-Aqsa a few years ago. The enemies haven't come right so near. Right? So brothers, Salahuddin ordered and instructed that carry that mimbar and take it with us. Inshallah, we will put that mimbar again in Masjid al-Aqsa. And he fought decisive battles against the Christians. 600,000 Christian hordes were killed at the hands of the armies of Salahuddin. In one decisive battle, which took place in a place called Qarn-e-Hittin, Allah gave us the opportunity of seeing this place. Hittin, it's a mountainside. 200,000 Christian soldiers were killed by Salahuddin and his armies in one day. And their bones laid there, they say the whole mountain side used to shine for years on end, the whiteness of the bone as the sun used to strike on it. For years on end it used to shine. The whiteness of those bones drying in the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him victory on such an appropriate occasion. It was again the 27th night of Rajab when the Muslim armies entered victoriously into Al-Quds, at the city of Jerusalem, and they entered into Masjid al-Aqsa with the cries of Takbir. They entered and they removed all the artifacts of Kufr and they threw them out. And for the first time after 90 years, Salah was established in Masjid al-Aqsa. So my dear respected friends, I was talking about Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When the Jews and the children of Israel, the Israelites, were being tormented by Fir'aun, and they cried out, they couldn't take it anymore. They couldn't take this oppression anymore. And they cried out, today how the tables have turned, the oppressed have become the oppressors now. They cried out and they said, O Musa alayhi salam, now help us and do something to take us out of this dark night of oppression. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Oh my people, ayat say Ramzan are here. Ji, he said, oh my people, that if you believe in Allah, trust in Allah, put your faith in Allah, in kuntum mu'mineen, or in kuntum muslimin, if you are believers. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers. They had no option at that time. They said, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We put our trust in Allah. We rely on Allah. Today we have to say these words, brothers. Who is there to help us? We're going to turn to them? We're going to cry out to them? We're going to ask them to help us? Those who are hell-bent on destroying us? فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Oh Allah, we put our trust in you. These were the words Bani Israel said. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, don't make us a test for the people who are oppressors. Don't put us through this test of oppression. We are too weak. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh Allah, through your mercy, save us from the qawm, a nation who are disbelievers. A nation of disbelievers. They have got no mercy in their hearts. For them to kill little children. For them to shoot out the eyes of young people. For them to massacre and kill on the slightest pretext and excuse. It is nothing. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say Ameen, brothers. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. This dua they made. Now, after the dua, comes the dawa. We don't stop at dua and say, right, finish, now work is over. Go home, sleep and have a good time. We made our dua. No, the dua has to be followed by the dawa. Allah has given us both things, dua and dawa. Now the dawa comes. Sometimes the dawa is a little bit bitter also, but we have to take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّعَا لِقَوْمِكُمَا أَن بِمِصْرَ أَن تَبَوَّعَا بُيُوتًا وَجَعَلَ بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. We said unto Hazrat Musa, we sent revelation unto him and his brother, say to your people, build up homes of worship. وَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ, and make these places, places of ibadat and worship. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish salah, establish salah, establish salah. The ayat is only revealed once, brothers. I'm just saying it for emphasis. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish salah. Today we want to look for fancy solutions to all our problems, brothers. Nobody is saying don't write letters of protest. Nobody is saying don't make a noise about it. Nobody is saying don't phone into the radio talk shows. Nobody is saying don't write to the media. Nobody is saying don't write to embassies and wherever you want to do. But don't forget the very fundamental aspects of assistance to this ummah. And what is that? Wa aqimus salah. Allah says establish salah. The Israelites were given the same hidayat when they were oppressed in the most brutal way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the solution to that as وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ establish salah. Today, my dear respected friends, that Quran was revealed for this ummah, and Allah has given us the stories in this Quran for our hidayat and our reformation and our guidance. The same guidance that held true for the oppressed people of Bani Israel, the same hidayat and guidance will hold true for the oppressed people of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the solution? Wa aqimus salah, establish salah. And this brings me to the second aspect of discussion for tonight on this night of Mi'raj. And that is the aspect of Salah. We will leave out all the other little details in between. We come to the point itself, the very essence of this night of Mi'raj, and that is Salah. My dear respected friends, we know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit Allah. When a great person goes to visit a great being, the normal tradition is gifts are exchanged. One gives a gift, receives a gift. Ya Allah, what gift can Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam take for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Allah not have? What is Allah short of? What doesn't Allah have in his treasury that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have taken something for him? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, I have come with my humility and my weakness, ajizi. In your darbar, there is only greatness and majesty and glory. There is no weakness of any sort in your darbar. I have come with this gift of mine. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn said, O my Habib and O my beloved, I will give you a gift. The gift of Mi'raj Allah gave. And Allah said, what about your ummatis who are suffering in the world? Your ummah is going through so much of oppression at the hands of the Quraysh. What solace is there for them? You have come, you have met me, you have spoken to me. What about them? I will give you a gift for them, for you and for them. The gift of Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam 50 Salah. Take the gift of 50 Salah and go back. As he is coming down, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam meets him and he says, what has Allah given you? Allah has given me 50 salah for my ummah. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, they won't manage. They won't manage. Some of them won't manage the two Eid namazes. They won't manage maybe once in a week for Jummah namaz. This Musa alayhi salam didn't say, brothers. But I'm just saying that this is our halat and condition. See? Said, please go back and ask Allah to reduce it. Your ummah won't handle it. They won't manage it. This gift is too big for them to handle. It was too big a gift for us to handle, brothers. We couldn't have handled such a big gift. It was beyond our capacity. We needed something more manageable or something we could handle easily. So he went and Allah reduced it. And we know the whole incident of how many times it was reduced and reduced until it came down to 5. Now, when he came back, Musa alayhi salam said, go back and reduce it even more. My ummah couldn't manage with 2 every day. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam said, no, I can't go back now. I hope my ummah won't disappoint me with this 5 salah. My dear respected friends, think about these things. We need to think about these things. What is our attitude towards salah? Do we regard it as a gift of Allah? Or do we regard it as some kind of a burden upon us? Are we living up to the expectations of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are we disappointing the expectations of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That he would have to say, well, Musa alaihi salam told him that they won't even manage with 2, or my ummah couldn't manage with 2. This is the night to think about these things, dear friends. I just remember about this 50 namazes that were reduced to 5. Once in Pakistan, there was one ruler of the country. He met another very prominent alim who was also a very great politician. And the politician I'm talking about, this great alim, was Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Ali of Pakistan. Very great alim and great political leader. on the brink of his victory, when he had almost won the election, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this time, he had a heart attack and he passed away. Otherwise, the face of Pakistan could have been different today. Allah knows best. So any case, this other political leader, I won't take his name, and don't ask me afterwards also. He came to Mufti Mahmood Sahib, they were having some discussion. So he said, Mufti Sahib, maine suna hai ke pehle 50 namazein thi, phir Allah ne usko 5 kar diya. You know, I heard that first Allah, there were 50 namazes, Allah made it 5. So Mufti Sahib said, ha, apne sahi suna, you heard right. He said, kaash ke Allah usko 50 hi rakhte. If only Allah left it 50. So Mufti Sahib said, kam bakht zalim, tum ek bhi nahi padhte ho, you don't even read one, and you're saying, you know, Allah should have left it 50. So he said, Mufti Sahib, main apne liye nahi keh raha hu, main to aapke liye keh raha hu. I'm not saying for myself, I'm saying for you. If Allah left it 50, whole day and night you should have been left in namaz all the time. I would have carried on ruling the country without a problem. Election after election I would have won, because you would have been busy with namaz. But now it's 5, so you got ample time to fight the election also. So my dear respected friends, Allah Ta'ala gave us this gift of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beautiful nazam we heard. Milta hai kya namaz mein, sajde mein jaake dekh. What Allah hasn't kept in salah. The solution to the problems of humanity, the whole world, the whole ummah, Allah has kept in salah. The fundamental of Islam. 750 times according to the ulama, salah has been mentioned in the Quran. Allah makes mention of something one time in the Quran, two times or three times. How important and significant does it not become for a believer if Allah has to make mention of it 750 times, brothers? Can we imagine how much of emphasis there is on salah? We don't need any further. Just think on this one fact. 750 times Allah makes mention of salah in the Quran. Do we need any other thing to impress us about salah? So we find, my dear respected friends, Allah has kept great, great benefits in the salah. Amongst the benefits of salah, it is said the person who reads 5 times salah with jamaat properly, Allah gives him 5 favors. The one favor Allah gives him in this world already, Allah makes his rozi easy for him. His daily bread, his sustenance, Allah makes it easy for him. Remember, brothers, Allah can give our rozi in 2 ways. Allah can give our rozi to us with ease and respect and dignity and safety and security. And Allah Ta'ala can make our rozi very difficult for us to earn. You know what is an example of this? My Ustad Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib used to give this example. Says that a farmer has to feed his chickens in the morning. So he can feed his chicken in one of 2 ways. He takes all the feed and he puts it in one little trough or a bowl, and he leaves it at the entrance of the fowl run. The chickens will all come to one place, peck, 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 eat, and fill their stomachs. And the other way, the farmer can give the chickens, their feed. He can take that thing and strew it around all over, and scatter it all over. Take it and throw it. Now they must run from corner to corner, pick up here, pick up there, pick up here, pick up there. The whole day is just going and picking up here and there. Allah can give our rozi in 2 ways. With comfort we sit in one place, with rahat, with izzat, with dignity Allah gives us our rozi. Or otherwise we can run from pillar to post, chasing here, chasing there, making calls. 3-4 cell phones are ringing here and person doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Running up and down, flying here, there. We think we are very, very busy. We are deceiving ourselves. Allah can give us our rozi with ease. Ask Allah to give us our rozi with ease. Comfortable, without hardship, without... And that Allah has kept in salah, brothers. Allah has kept that in salah. Today when we are crying about the difficult economic times, we are crying about the economy, when you're crying about the difficulties that we are undergoing, we have no reason to cry, brothers. Allah has given us the solution. Allah Ta'ala puts us through some difficult times sometimes, and He knows best why it is. But remember, this habit that we have got, Allah forgive us, this habit that we have got of complaining and complaining and complaining and crying all the time. Oh, things are bad, things are bad. We convince ourselves eventually that things are bad. And then we become mentally affected. Like those children in the madrasa, they didn't want to learn that day. They didn't want to learn the sabak. Maybe they didn't know that very difficult dua kunut or something, which many people forget also. So they maybe didn't know that dua, so they made a plan now. Children, students are students. They will always be students. They made up a little plan and they said, you know what? Today, we have to convince Maulana somehow that he's not well. We have to. So they made a little plan amongst themselves and they said, you know what? When Mauli Sahab comes today, we're all going to start one by one. So the Maulana walked in. The first student said, Assalamu alaikum Ustadji, Maulana. You're not looking well at all today. What happened to you? Look at your face. You're all red and hot. And looks like you got fever. Your eyes and everything. He said, "Aye, chup ho ja. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm very well." 2 minutes later, the other one stood up and he also said the same thing. The Maulana was a little bit now, but he still told them, sit down, just learn your sabak quickly, I'm going to test you. Then the third one spoke up, and the fourth one, and the fifth one, and then he couldn't take it anymore. He said, definitely, there has to be something in it now. And he got up and he took his bag and everything and he went away home. His wife said, you just went and you came back. He said, "Are you can't see how sick I am. All the children in the madrasa saw me and now you don't know how sick I am." My dear respected brothers, this is our halat and condition. We convince ourselves so much that things are bad, that eventually we actually start believing it. And then what happens? Negative mindset sets in. And remember, let's not take this thing as a joke. Let's not take this thing that we say things are bad, that it doesn't have an effect. Remember in Urdu it is said, Zubane khalku nakarae khuda samjo. Think of the words of the people as the bugle of Allah. When Allah wants to make a certain announcement, that thing keeps on coming on the tongues of the people. If the people say about a certain person, a very good man, he will be counted as a good person. If they say bad things, the bad things will start happening. So my dear respected friends, if we keep on saying things are bad, Allah forbid, things will really become bad. Remember, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori, Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, Yaad rakho, shikayat hal, shikayat rabbe zul jalal hai. To make shikayat of one's condition all the time, it is to make shikayat and complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are complaining about Allah now. Things are bad, as if Allah doesn't know our halat and condition. We are eating square meals a day. Brothers, if you have to eat half a loaf of bread, what is there in it? Didn't our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba tie stones to their stomachs? Didn't they have 2 stones on his stomachs? So if we have to undergo those halat and conditions sometimes, what is there in it, dear friends? Our iman is intact, our deen is intact, what more do we want? Allah save us from this, brothers. Let us get out of this mode now. We mustn't hear this anymore. Things are bad, things are bad. Things will really become bad then. Let us always be optimistic and positive. When we keep on thinking like this, then people want to start running from the country. Hey, things are really bad here. We must go somewhere else. One alim was giving a talk, and he mentioned this. He emigrated from another country. He was from here, he went somewhere else, and he came back. So the people were telling him, Maulana, we're going away, we're going away. He said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that side, then you must give Allah salams. So he said, what do you mean, Maulana? How can you say this? He said, "By it is as if there's another Allah here and some other Allah there. The same Allah is here, the same Allah is there. The same halat are here, the same halat are here. A'malukum, ummalukum, your actions are your conditions. The way your deeds will be, the way your activities will be, that is how your conditions will be in any part of the world. A person can become a victim of crime, here he can become a victim of crime anywhere else in the world. His rozi can go down here, it can go down in any other part of the world. Brothers, the answer to all of this is, build our ta'alluq with Allah through salah. Through salah. Look at the beauty of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept such power in the salah. There is such force in the salah. There is such effect in the salah. There is such magnetism in the salah. Subhanallah, my dear respected friends. when Nabiya Kareeb sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with any problem, kana idha hazabahu amrun badara ila salah. When he was faced with any difficulty or problem, the first thing that he did was he rushed to the musalla and he made salah. Because he knew the contact was there. Allah is the giver, Allah is the knower, Allah knows the halat and condition. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. When we build this love with salah, Allah give us all this love for salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Juilat qurratu ayni fi salah. Allah has put the coolness of my eyes in salah. And my dear respected, all these little weaknesses that we got in our deen, Allah will remove those weaknesses through the power of salah. Through the power of salah, Allah will remove those weaknesses in our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has declared in the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Allah has kept the force in salah, that salah will prevent you and it will become a barrier between you and sins and between evil and shameless deeds. Salah will become that barrier. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, Ke tanha namaz, tanha namaz, tanha anil fahshai wal munkar hai. If you can understand the beauty of these words, the tanha namaz is the first part of it is Urdu. Namaz alone is tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Namaz alone will be able to stop you from fahshai and munkar. Tanha namaz, tanha anil fahshai wal munkar hai. Namaz alone, Allah has kept that force in namaz. But then, my dear respected friends, we have to strive to make that quality namaz. It doesn't just come like that. Allah has given many of us tawfiq to read our five times salah. Allah increase us in the tawfiq. But now, dear friends, let us not stop at that point and say, okay, I'm reading my five times salah and that's it, full stop. But we need to work on the quality of our salah. And we need to build our salah to that extent, like that one tabi'i by the name of Nabata bin Yazid. He's traveling on his donkey and he's undertaking a journey. He comes to a certain place, the donkey dies. Our children learn other stories about donkeys dying and fathers crying or whatever it is. But imagine, we should be teaching them this other story about the donkey dying to strengthen the iman. What is that, dear friends? Nabata bin Yazid's donkey died. He got off. The people told him, come, we'll help you. We'll work something out. You get on to ride behind another. He said, carry on. Don't worry. My problem, I know how to solve it. He got down, he read 2 rakat salah. What a salah that must have been, brothers. Allah has kept this force in the salah. When the salah is a salah of quality, he got down and he read 2 rakats of salah. And he said, Ya Allah, you know my plight and condition. I didn't trust on the people, I trusted on you. You are hayyun la yamut, and you are hayyun, and you are mumit. You are the one who gives life, and you are muhyi and mumit. You are the one who gives life, and you are the one who takes life. Give life to this dead donkey. Allah put it in his heart, he took his whip and he whacked it once. He whipped it once and he said, Qum bi iznillah, stand up by the order of Allah. The dead donkey got up to life. He jumped onto his donkey and he rode away. This is the force Allah has kept in salah, brothers. When that salah is a salah of quality, there are two aspects of the salah we have to consider. The outward aspect of salah and the inward aspect of salah. Outward aspect of salah, brothers, that salah must conform to the salah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read salah as you see me reading salah. That is the directive for this ummah. Follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah. 51 or 52 sunnahs the ulama have counted of salah. Brothers, ask ourselves the question, how many of us know those sunnahs and how many of us are practicing on those? Then we are improving the quality of our salah. 77 makruhat in salah. 77 acts that will spoil your salah. How many of us know those and how many of us abstaining from those? That is the outward aspects of salah. To read our salah with itminan and to read our salah slowly, properly, carefully, deliberately, not rushing through the motions of salah, that we hardly went into ruku and we up and we hardly went into sajda and we up again. That is a very important aspect of salah. to know these things about salah and then to put it into practice, it takes a little bit of effort and time. But it can be achieved by every Muslim brothers. And then comes the inner aspects of salah, the concentration of salah. Otherwise our salah becomes like that one person. You know, it's a very famous story, we've heard it many a times, but just we'll go through it again. That man, the Maulana was reading Isha Namaz or something, or Asr Namaz, and then they got confused between the number of rakats. Now, he asked the Musallis, how many? Three or four. So some people said, Maulana, it's three, somebody said it's four, they were not sure. One man stood up and he said with conviction, Maulana, it's only definitely three, it can't be four. Everyone thought, mashallah, at least there is one person in the whole masjid that reads his namaz with so much of concentration that he is sure, everyone else is doubtful about it. So they asked him, brother, can you explain how you're so sure about it? He says, yeah, definitely, no problem. I have got four shops and every rakat I quickly mentally calculate what was the takings for the day. I only finished three. I didn't even come to the fourth shop and Maulana made salam. So I know for sure there were only three rakats. Let not our concentration be like this, brothers. The easiest way to develop concentration, Allah give me the speaker tawfiq, brothers. And everyone tawfiq. Very, very easy way to develop concentration. Hakimul Ummat Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave this. He said, you know, when you're reading your salah, pause and think on every word as you are reading. Don't just read it mechanically. Like they say, you know, our salah is like you put a tape recorder cassette on and it just plays from Allahu Akbar, the cassette is playing on its own. And Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullah, that's the auto stop now. Nowadays you get auto stop, you don't have to press the stop, but automatically it stops. So that's our salah. We just press the button at Allahu Akbar, the cassette played its four rakats or whatever it was, and at Assalamu Alaikum auto stop, the namaz came to an end. In between, we didn't really know what we read, how we read, nothing. No. It must not be like this. Our salah must be like this, that every word we must read. Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi said, you think of yourself as though you are a new Muslim, and you just learned your surahs now, and your duas. How are you going to read it? You'll ponder every word as you are reading. Just that much, he said. If you can develop that much of concentration, he says, that is a salah of khushu. That is the salah Allah's praise in the Quran. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Those who have got khushu and concentration in the salah are those people who read the salah in this way. Allah give us that khushu. Now, my dear respected friends, I just want to wind up now on the subject itself. This is one aspect to improve the quality of our salah inwardly and outwardly. Then it doesn't stop at that point. Remember, the solution to the problems of the oppression of the ummah, Allah has kept in salah. So we want a solution out of this oppression. We have to work on the salah now. Now comes the next issue, and that is, we alhamdulillah are offering our salah. Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. What about our subservience and those who are dependents, our near and dear ones, our family, those with regard to whom we are questionable? Are they offering the salah or not? I am a husband. Is my wife offering her salah? I need to ask myself that question. I am a father. Are my children offering salah? I have to ask that question. I am an uncle. Are my nephews and nieces offering the salah? I am a grandfather. Are my grandchildren offering the salah or not? I am a boss. Are my workers offering the salah or not? I am a teacher. Are my students offering the salah or not? I just heard one incident this morning. Went to one school. They've got some non-Muslim teachers teaching Muslim children. The non-Muslim teachers are telling those children that don't come to school if you don't offer your five times prayer every day. And the Muslim parent came to complain at the school that the teachers are putting too much of pressure on our children. Kya hai, brothers? What is our halat and condition? Andar ka chor. We don't want to read our salah. We don't even want our children to read their salah. Because now it will be, our children are reading salah and mother and father are sitting around. Difficult situation. One son, the father kept on telling him, go for namaz, which is a good thing. Even if we are not practicing ourselves, we must tell our children. We want to harm ourselves,
why must we allow harm to come to them? So one day the son stood up and said, Father, I will go to read Salah, but on one condition, you must join me from now. Allah made that the turning point in the life of the father, and the father also started going for Salah. So my dear respected friends, the Salah of our subservience, today Allah forgive us, what a sad story it is. We will find the father will bring his little children, 4 years and 5 years old, who shouldn't actually be brought to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannibu sibyanakum wa majaninakum masajidakum. Don't bring your children and those who are mentally disturbed and insane to the masjid. Why? Because they will defile the masjid, they'll make noise, they'll scratch the cars. I don't want to educate the children too much. They'll do all kinds of wrong things. And then what will happen? There'll be a problem. They'll defile the masjid and what, they'll make a noise. They'll imitate the imams up reading, people will get confused. They'll say Allahu Akbar beforehand. Some people in the back will go in ruku. What and what can happen? So he said, don't bring these children who are not of a discerning age, don't bring them to the masjid. We will bring them proudly to the masjid. My little ones, my children are coming to masjid. But the big ones, the baligh ones, those on whom namaz is farz, those who are mukallaf, they're living in our home, they're eating in our homes, we're giving them spending, we're sustaining them, we're doing everything, but they're missing salah after salah, and it doesn't cause us a frown on our forehead, brothers. Where are we going to? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muru awladakum bi salah. Order and instruct your children to read salah. Wahum abnau sab'i sinin. When they are age of 7, wadribuhum alayha wahum abnau ashra sanawat. And hit them if they haven't performed the salah when they reach the age of 10. At the age of 10, they must be struck if they don't offer the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders his Nabi in the Quran, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. O my beloved Nabi, order and instruct your family to read salah. Would the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam miss our salah? No, it is a teaching for the ummah that when your Nabi has been instructed to teach his family to offer salah, who are you not to tell your family to read salah? وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And you be punctual on salah yourself, O my beloved Nabi. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. The link between salah and risk is like this, brothers. Like this. Rosie and salah is inseparable, the bonds between the two. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Allah says, we don't ask you for sustenance. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. We will sustain you with your salah, through your salah. So my dear respected friends, to order and instruct our families to read salah, it is part and parcel of our deen. Ismail alayhi salam, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. Ismail alayhi salam used to instruct his family to read salah. That is why we've been taught this dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, make me one who establishes salah, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and my progeny also. Make them namazis. Allah Ta'ala give us the spirit of salah. Then my dear friends, it doesn't stop only at that point. Alhamdulillah, our whole household is now musalli and namazis. It doesn't stop there. My neighbors, are they offering the salah or not? It is my concern. It is my worry. It is my responsibility. Today, Allah forgive us. We have gone so far away from the teachings. A person doesn't know his neighbor, and he's quite proud about the fact. Me, I don't even know who stays next door. Gee, people are proud about it. Is this the teachings of this ummah? That you don't know who your neighbors are? You go to the buildings, you knock at the doors, you ask them, are there any other Muslims living around here? I don't know. You can find out. This is not the way of our Muslim brothers. We must know who our neighbors are, so that we can fulfill the rights of the neighbors. So my neighbors, are they on salah or not? A friendly reminder, a loving reminder, a kind reminder, a compassionate reminder, a nice reminder. Brother, I'm going for salah. Can I pick you up, please? Would you give me company? I'm going alone. How nice if you come with me. With hikmat, brothers, with love and hikmat, win the heart of the person and start getting him to offer salah. And then we have to make an effort to bring the whole ummah onto salah. When we do that, my dear respected friends, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that time to Musa alayhi salam, Aqimu salah, establish salah. Allah gave them salvation from the clutches of Fir'aun. Allah will give us salvation from the clutches of the kuffar and the mushrikeen. My dear respected friends, on that I would like to conclude the talk. And before we conclude, it is pointless concluding and just going home. We need to take certain resolutions, brothers. We need to make certain promises to ourselves. Allah is the witness. It is pointless listening and going home and forgetting about it. How many talks we are going to listen to? For how long we are going to be told? The time for amal and action is here now. First resolution we have to take tonight. Ya Allah, from now onwards, I won't miss a single salah. Say Ameen, brothers. Ameen. Ya Allah, from now onwards, every salah that I have missed in the past, it is not wiped out. It has to be read. And that is known as qadai umri. I have to cover up for all the salahs that I missed in the past. Now how do I cover up? Ask the ulama. They will tell you that calculate. If you know exactly, read that exact namaz amount. If you don't know, make an estimation that your heart will tell you, yes, I think this is a correct estimation. Make a correct estimation and start offering those salahs that you have missed in the past. If you have to leave out nafil namazes in the interim period, not that I'm encouraging anyone to leave out nafil namazes, but if you have to leave out nafil namaz in the interim period to cover up those salahs that you have missed in the past, qadai umri, you rather leave out the nafils and do your qadai umri. We will be questioned. If we didn't, dear friends, we have to make a wasiyah to say that for every namaz that I missed, one sadaqatul fitr has to be given, which is the equivalent of 7 rands, more or less. To absolve us of that obligation that we have done. That is the second resolution we are taking tonight, inshallah. All our musallah, we will read inshallah. The third resolution we have to take here tonight, brothers and sisters, is we will inshallah improve the quality of our salah, outwardly by following the sunnahs and inwardly by developing concentration in our salah, inshallah. Allah help us. The fourth resolution we have to take here tonight is that we will ensure that every person in our home is a namazi and not a single person misses out on salah. We will make that resolution tonight. If anyone is not coming on salah in the home, go and ask the ulama for advice. What must I do? How must I go about it? Don't start slaughtering and killing people or anything, please. There's a way to go about it. Before kikmat used to work, now we have to use hikmat. The days of kikmat are gone, now is the time of hikmat. Use hikmat, brothers. Hikmat, Allah will show us the road, inshallah. We will get those people to come onto salah. Fifth resolution, we have to look around our neighborhood and see who is not offering the salah. And with lot of love and concern and compassion, we have to win their hearts over and get them to also start coming for salah. And then the sixth resolution we have to take is that inshallah, we will make such an effort that all over the world, people come onto salah. And they come on to deen. And my dear respected friends, I think the final resolution, the seventh one we have to take tonight is, we will at least make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and wherever else in the world they are suffering, we will make one dua. Normally, we've got one bad habit, brothers. We've got the habit of condemning the people. One is a reality. Maybe they are not fulfilling certain obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. But it's not for us to keep on judging about people. Rather let us make this dua. Ya Allah, if they are weak in their deen, like we are weak in our deen, and because of which these conditions have come upon them, Ya Allah, strengthen them in their deen. When we make this dua, inshallah, Allah will strengthen us in our deen. Allah will strengthen them. We all will become one strong ummah. But if we're going to keep on condemning and saying, oh, you know, I went to Masjid al-Aqsa, people were not reading namaz there, the mosque was empty, Fajr time they were only half a serf, or whatever it is, we can keep on condemning. Where are we going to end off, brothers? We rather be talking about improvement now, by way of dua. We're going to make dua for the improvement, inshallah, al-Aziz. On that, inshallah, we conclude the talk. May Allah accept our sitting here. May Allah accept our sacrifices. Whatever has been said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the speaker and those who are listening, and Allah give the whole ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make amal on this. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. يا الله ہماری مغفرت فرما، يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، يا الله ہم اپنے گناہوں کا اعتراف کرتے ہیں، يا الله بے شک ہم خطاوار ہیں، ہم قصوروار ہیں، يا الله ہم گنہگار ہیں، ہم نالائق ہیں، ہم گندے ہیں، ہم ناپاک ہیں، يا الله ہم نے بہت زیادہ گناہ کیے ہیں، يا الله کوئی گناہ ایسا نہیں جو ہم نے نہ چھوڑا ہو. اے اللہ تو نے یہ سب کچھ دیکھا ہے، اس کے باوجود تو نے ہمارے حال پر رحم فرمایا، تو نے ہمیں تباہ نہ کر دیا. یا اللہ یا اللہ یا اللہ تیرا احسان ہے، یا اللہ تمہیں ہمیں آج تک بچا رکھا ہے، ہمارے ساتھ پردہ پوشی کا معاملہ فرمایا، تو نے ہمارے یا اللہ گناہ کو چھپا لیا تھا. یا اللہ اللہ قیامت کے دن بھی ہمارے گناہوں کو چھپا لے. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو حسنات سے مبدل فرما. تیرا وعدہ ہے جو لوگ پکے توبہ کرتے ہیں، سچی توبہ کرتے ہیں، تو ان کے گناہوں کو ثواب میں بدل دیتا ہے. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو ثواب میں بدل دے. یا اللہ آئندہ پکا ارادہ نصیب فرما، ہم گناہ کو چھوڑ دیں گے. یا اللہ گناہ بہت ناپاک چیز ہے، بہت منحوس چیز ہے، یا اللہ تجھے ناپسندیدہ ہے. اے اللہ وہ ہم ہمت نصیب فرما، وہ قوت نصیب فرما، وہ طاقت نصیب فرما کہ ہم گناہ کو چھوڑ دیں. اے اللہ اگر یا اللہ کسی وجہ سے گناہ ہو گیا، یا اللہ ہمیں آئندہ توبہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما، بار بار توبہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما، روزانہ توبہ کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ اور مرنے سے پہلے یا اللہ توبہ نصوحہ نصیب فرما، سچی پکی توبہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ مرنے کے وقت سارے گناہ ختم ہو جائے، ہم بالکل پاک صاف ہو جائے جیسا کوئی نیا بچہ یا اللہ دنیا میں پیدا ہوا ہو. یا اللہ اس حالت میں ہم تیرے پاس آئے اور تجھ سے ملنے کے لیے آئے. یا اللہ ہم پر ایمان پر ہم یا اللہ ہم قائم فرما، ایمان پر زندگی نصیب فرما، ایمان پر موت نصیب فرما، حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرما، حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرما، حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ نماز کی اہمیت ہمارے دلوں میں ڈال دے، نماز کے ساتھ محبت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ نماز کی ظاہر کو بھی ٹھیک کر دے، نماز کے باطن کو بھی ٹھیک کر دے، خشوع اور خضوع والی نماز نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہماری نماز کے ساتھ محبت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں آنکھ کی تندک نماز میں نصیب فرما. یا اللہ پوری امت کو نماز پر پابند بنا دے. یا اللہ ہماری اولاد کو، ہماری ذریت کو، ہمارے دوست احباب کو، ہمارے پڑوسیوں کو، ہمارے مسلمان بھائی بہنوں کو، پوری امت کو نماز پر قائم فرما. یا اللہ اس وقت امت جو پریشان حال ہے، یا اللہ ہماری آنکھوں کے سامنے یا اللہ معصوم بچے قتل ہو رہے ہیں، یا اللہ ان کی جانیں لی جا رہی ہے، یا اللہ ان کو زخم کیا جا رہا ہے، یا اللہ ان کے بدن سے خون جاری ہے، یا اللہ ہماری آنکھیں دیکھ رہی ہے، یا اللہ ہم سن رہے ہیں اپنے کانوں سے، یا اللہ ہمارے دل پر کوئی اثر نہیں آ رہا ہے. یا اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما، یا اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما، ہم اپنے آرام میں زندگی گزار رہے ہیں، یا اللہ ہم کھا پی رہے، ہنسی مذاق کر رہے ہیں، یا اللہ اور اس دنیا کے اس حصے میں ہمارے بھائی بہن پس رہے، کٹ رہے، مر رہے، یا اللہ ان کا خون بہ رہا ہے، یا اللہ ان کو کوئی پرسان حال نہیں ہے، یا اللہ ان کا کوئی مددگار نہیں ہے. اے اللہ تو ان کی مدد فرما، ان کی نصرت فرما، یا اللہ ان کی تائید فرما، یا اللہ ان کی غیبی مدد نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ان کے دینی حالت کو بدل دے. یا اللہ اگر انہوں نے تجھے ناراض کر دیا ہو، دین سے منہ موڑا ہو، اے اللہ ان کو دین پر لیا، یا اللہ ان کی حالت کو درست فرما، یا اللہ ان کے حال پر رحم فرما. یا اللہ تو ان سے راضی ہو جا، تیری مدد اور نصرت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ مسلمانوں کو غلبہ اور فتح نصیب فرما. یا اللہ اسلام کا بول بالا فرما، اسلام کا پرچم دنیا کے اندر یا اللہ بالا فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، زندگی کو درست فرما، اس ملک کے اندر بھی امن اور امان نصیب فرما، رزق حلال نصیب فرما، حرام سے حفاظت فرما، آسان روزی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ آسان روزی نصیب فرما، آسان روزی نصیب فرما، روزی کی مشکلات کو دور فرما. جو لوگ قرض میں ہیں اللہ ان کے قرض کو دور فرما. اے اللہ جو کسی قسم کے پریشانی میں ہو، اے اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں یا اللہ صالح اور دیندار بنا، عباد الصالحون میں ہمیں شامل فرما، عباد الصالحون میں شامل فرما، نیک بندوں میں شامل فرما. اے اللہ اپنے لطف اور کرم سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے امت کے حق میں جو دعا کی ہے، اے اللہ ایک ایک دعا کو ہمارے حق میں قبول فرما. یقیناً آپ کے دل کو اس وقت یا اللہ بڑی تکلیف ہوگی امت کے حال کو دیکھ کر، اے اللہ آپ کے دل کو ٹھنڈک نصیب فرما. اے اللہ امت کے حال کو بدل کر نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی ذات اقدس کو راحت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ اپنے لطف اور کرم سے نماز کی پابندی نصیب. یا اللہ قیامت کے دن ہمارے نبی ہمارے اعمال کی وجہ سے رسوا نہ ہو. یا اللہ ہمارے کرتوتوں کی وجہ سے آپ کو شرمندگی نہ ہو. یا اللہ ہمیں نماز کی پابندی نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ دین دنیا اور آخرت کی جملہ خیر اور بھلائی ہم سب کو نصیب فرما. دین دنیا اور آخرت کی تمام پریشانیوں سے مشکلات سے مصائب سے تکالیف سے یا اللہ ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں مستجاب الدعوات بنا دے. اللہ تیرے صالح اور اولیاء بندہ میں ہمیں شامل فرما. اولیاء کاملین میں ہمارا شمار فرما. اور مرنے کے بعد یا اللہ ہم سب کو جنت الفردوس بغیر استحقاق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہم جنت کے اہل نہیں ہے. یا اللہ جنت کے اہل نہیں ہے لیکن تیرا کرم کا واسطہ ہے, تیرا فضل کا واسطہ ہے, تیری ذات پر امید اور بھروسہ ہے. یا اللہ بغیر استحقاق, یا اللہ تو کریم ہے, بغیر استحقاق کے تو ہمیں جنت الفردوس نصیب فرما. تیرے لیے کوئی مشکل نہیں ہے. وما ذلک علی اللہ بعزیز, تیرے لیے کوئی مشکل نہیں. یا اللہ بغیر استحقاق اس مجمع کے ایک ایک فرد کو, مرد کو, عورت کو, بچے کو, سب کو جنت الفردوس نصیب فرما. وصلی اللہ علی نبی الکریم وعلی آلہ واصحاب اجمعین. ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللهم صل علی محمد عبدک ورسولک وصل علی المؤمنین والمؤمنات والمسلمین والمسلمات وبارک علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آلہ وازواجہ وذریته واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. والحمد للہ رب العالمین.